Radiotopia.
I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
February 14th, 1998.
Sixth grade.
Dear diary.
Dear Jesus.
Dear sweet asswad.
Adults sharing the embarrassing things
they created as kids.
So I wrote poems about masturbation.
Before an audience
of total strangers.
I feel like an idiot.
I'm the only normal one in my entire family.
Mom, you can't read this.
These are the stories hidden inside
the pages of our past.
You're listening to the Mortified Podcast. I'm Dave, and today's episode peeks inside the diary of a teenager obsessed with rocking out to Tool, imagining herself as a character from A Clockwork Orange, and eating cheeseburgers from an AM/PM gas station. Ugh. Now, there are a few bigger challenges for kids than dealing with their parents' divorce, especially if the parent you're living with ends up getting remarried and all the rules in the house change.
Before my parents got divorced, we didn't really have a lot of structure or rules in the house. There wasn't really like a set bedtime, and there wasn't anything that we weren't allowed to watch on TV, and there weren't any words that weren't allowed to be said. You know, as soon as my dad got remarried, it was like, no, you have to go to bed. You have to go to school. You can't talk to me like I'm your peer. You have to talk to me like a parent.
The sudden shift in family dynamics often lead to hurt feelings, mistrust, and can transform even the nicest of kids into a total pain in the ass.
That was really the beginning of being really rebellious. I was really searching to regain my independence in every way possible.
Of course, a teenager's desire to assert their independence can lead to lots of fighting, or in the case of today's reader, using the pages of your diary to totally piss off your parents. Here's Aaron, recorded at the Alberta Rose Theater in Portland.
The following are journal entries from my freshman year in high school. January 4th, 1997. Dear diary, life is shit. I fucking hate being 15. I want to work at Escape from New York Pizza and write my novel. I cannot stand it here in the suburbs. Plus, I am positive the house is haunted. I keep hearing a knock on the walls, and my bedroom door flew open the other night, but no one was there. At first, I thought it was because of the acid that I dropped. But I am positive it is not. I don't get it. All the hippies in those Cheech and Chong movies that Dad loves and always talk about, seeing colors and tripping. But all I got was a backache and the giggles and then a ghost killing my buzz. But we did eat it at lunch at school, and so after going to our different classes, maybe you have to stay with the people you did it with or something. I thought that doing drugs with your friends was supposed to make you feel cooler, but I still feel like a dork who no one gave a handbook to on how to actually do drugs without looking stupid. How does everyone else just know how to do it? I want to die. I also want my pager to start working again. It fell in the toilet when I was practicing putting on lipstick around my clip-on lip ring, and now it doesn't buzz. Dear diary, my last entry was stupid. I want to form an all-girl goth metal band. I will be the lead singer backed by two uglier girls, so I look hotter than I actually am. My onstage outfit will be awesome. Striped tights and the clip-on lip ring will be vital to my look. Dear diary, I finally got my cape and vampire fangs! They were on layaway forever! I only get $20 a week for my chores. It's so beautiful, red velvet and black satin. I immediately put the cape on for the trip home. But I don't want to glue the teeth in yet, because the glue might taste like shit. So I will only put them in when I go to the city to dance on goth night. Dad is so stupid. He accused me of being a Satan worshiper just because I have tarot cards. Does he not remember watching The Exorcist with me when I was 6? I still sleep with the lights on. I would never worship Satan. So super scary. Dear diary, Dad claims he is allergic to cats. So I took a bunch of cat hair from Sarah's house and I rubbed it on all the clothes in his closet. He is totally lying. He didn't even fucking sniffle. Dear diary, I'm so dumb. I left my cigarettes in my backpack, and of course they found them. They're always digging through my shit. Dad said he's gonna send me to foster care because I'm so out of control. Whatever, I am not that bad. I swear to God, if he sends me to foster care, I'm gonna put him in a state-run home when he gets old. He will definitely smell like pee and hopefully get abused. Dear diary, ever since I can remember, school was always more of an optional thing. Even in 6th grade, I got to stay home whenever I wanted. But now Jenny is on this trip. She wants to be a responsible step-parent or something, and she keeps trying to make me go to school every day. Dad never gave a shit about how much school I missed, but now she keeps his balls in her purse, so he does whatever she wants. I poured out my soul into my diaries, honestly and often, until I realized I was not the only one reading my diaries.
I had spent all of these hours writing this really epic poem in my diary. And one night at dinner, my dad very flippantly recited one of the lines out of my poem and looked at my stepmom, and they kind of laughed and giggled. And I remember just being totally crushed. Like, you read my diary and then you laughed in my face. That's such a double whammy of betrayal. And I was just heartbroken for like 10 solid minutes, just inconsolable. And then I got really, really angry. And that's when I decided to start really messing with them.
After discovering that my dad and stepmom were reading, I was crushed, embarrassed, and angry. And I decided to pepper my truths with a few fictions. Now let's see if you can find the fictions. April 28th. I met some homeless bums at the bus depot today. I let them all fuck me without a condom. Then we all shot up some crack. And I stole an old cripples lady's wallet, because we needed more crack money. May 9th. I did a line of coke off a strange guy's boner in the bathroom at the library today. Coke is awesome. Maybe I will go into porn when I grow up. I will definitely have to get my tits done first. May 13th. Had my first abortion today. Not so bad. I think I will have several more before I turn 18. Fuck you, Dad. Dear diary. So clearly Dad figured out that I made all that shit up, but read my diary? Fuck that. Huge fight ensued. I got grounded. Dad took all my stuff out of my room, my CD player, my TV, and Jenny took my diary. So I pulled all the clothes out of my closet. I put them in a giant pile on my floor. And I was gonna set them on fire to show them that I don't want anything they paid for. Dad caught me and promised to give the TV back if I stopped trying to burn the house down. We stared at each other, Mexican standoff style, until I put my lighter down. He brought my TV back, just in time to watch Kids in the Hall. I call this battle a draw. So I moved out of my dad's house 6 months after my last entry. True to my inner drama queen, I simply packed a bag, stomped down the stairs, threw a copy of A Clockwork Orange in his face, and told him I was leaving. It took a few years, but we eventually made peace, and now that I'm a mother and he is a grandfather to my son, we have a much more peaceful relationship and only occasionally throw books at each other. Thank you.
That was Erin reading aloud her childhood writings with no embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness at Portland's Alberta Rose Theater. And stick around, there's more to the story as we chat with today's reader in our postmortem, Fide. We caught up with Erin recently and asked her what happened when her dad confronted her on all the lies she'd been writing in her diary.
We have this huge argument. I try telling them, no, it's not true. And I lied in my diary. And they say, do fucking new lies in their diary. That's crazy.
And that's when she threatened to burn all of her belongings and the house with it, which led to a breaking point in her relationship with her dad.
We kind of diffused the situation a little bit, but things were tense. I mean, you can't take that back. You can't back, you know, they find you trying to burn the house down. All of a sudden you become a threat in a totally different way than just dressing like a slut or wearing a cape or whatever. And so, things got worse from there. And I ended up running away from home not too long after that. And it was just really a super dark time in my family history. But, that fight was like the one that I'll always remember for the rest of my life.
At just 15 years old, Erin had dropped out of school and was thrilled to set out on her own.
At first, it was really great. I went and stayed with my friends and I did whatever I wanted. And then the reality of the situation after a few months became really clear. Like, I don't have any money and I'm like having to ask people, you know, will your mom let me stay at your house? And getting a real glimpse of what it was like not only to be really, truly on your own with no financial or emotional help from your family, but also kind of a little glimpse into other people's lives and how maybe I didn't really have it that bad.
Eventually, the lost teenager had enough of being on her own.
There was a moment where I found myself kind of out of places to go, out of people that were willing to float me in my quest to continue to be independent. And it was really a low point. I remember I was sitting in the park and just crying and really realizing, like, I've totally done this to myself. And that was a big turning moment for me. I called my dad and, you know, that was a really hard phone call to make. And the fact that he talked to me was kind of amazing. And I called him and he said, you know, you can come home, but there's going to be conditions. You tried to burn our house down. You know, I wasn't allowed to be home if they weren't home. I wasn't allowed to, you know, have the stuff that I'd had before. I really had to spend some serious time earning their trust back and repairing our broken relationship.
Erin spent nearly a year wondering if her relationship with her dad would ever be fully repaired. And then one night,
I remember I was in my room playing Nintendo and my dad came in and he's like, hey, I know it's midnight, but do you want to go to Dunkin' Donuts? I could go for a donut right now. And I was like, yeah, that sounds amazing. And so kind of like realizing like, hey, he came to me because he wanted me to go with him to get donuts. I think we're okay. I think we're good.
Now that Erin's become a parent herself, things between her and her dad have really come full circle.
My dad and I and my son meet up once or twice a week for food or to hang out or whatever. And so we're super close. The other day when we met for lunch and he was just like, your son is just like you at that age. Like, he is so stubborn and short tempered and willful. And you are totally, you have a hard road ahead of you. And he thinks it's absolutely hilarious.
Share the shame, follow Mortified on Facebook or Twitter, or visit the new and improved GetMortified.com to learn about Mortified stage shows, books, films, and beyond. Click participate, and who knows, maybe you'll appear on a future episode of this series. As many of you know, the Mortified podcast is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, which is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation and MailChimp, who celebrate creativity, chaos, and teamwork. If your organization is interested in supporting our podcast too, please email sponsor@radiotopia.fm. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Kathy Tu, Pierce Buscelli, Neil Ketcher, and myself, Dave Nadelberg. Susan Danahy produced this performance for the stage. Music by Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, and Snakes, Snakes, Snakes. Additional thanks to Graham Fuchs, Lance Roberts, Brooke Stone, Alberta Rose Theater, Egan Danahy, Megan Holmes, Frank Matthews, and all the dedicated Mortified live producers whose work make the stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived.